Welcome to the Science of Psychotherapy podcast with your hosts, Richard Hill and Matthew Darlitz.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Science of Psychotherapy podcast. My name is Matthew Darlitz, and this week there's no Richard. Well, there is Richard, but Richard is over in Europe. He's been traveling over there for a number of weeks now, doing courses and workshops and all sorts of interesting things. And I have to apologize. Last week, Richard and I, we were trying to synchronize our times over in Europe and in Australia and then with someone that we were going to interview. But at the end of the day, it didn't work. And so we missed each other. And Richard is still in Europe. So today it's just me, I'm afraid. But today, what I've been doing just recently is talking to our, we've got an expert, Nick Taddock. He's an expert in digital marketing. I've been talking to him about, you know, how can we better market ourselves in this world of psychotherapy. And so we thought, well, let's put together a little bit of a conversation, a course actually, to help people, you know, do marketing a little bit better. You know, we go to a lot of effort learning about the art and science of psychotherapy, but often, you know, we don't know a lot about the business side of things. And if we're in private practice, well, we're a business owner. And so part of business is marketing, very important part of business is marketing. So we want to help you connect with the clients that are ideal for your practice. And so in talking to Nick about this, we thought, well, let's jump online and we'll have a bit of a conversation. I've asked you out there, you know, what are your number one questions you'd like to ask a marketing expert? And so we had a flood of questions come in. And so we sifted through those and we picked out a bunch. And Nick and I, we talked for about an hour about these different questions and Nick giving us different tips on how we can better market ourselves. So I thought today on the podcast, what I'll do is I'll play some of that. It's way too long to put into, the podcast, but what we have it online as a completely free course on our academy. And so what I'd like you to do, if you're interested in having, we could call this Marketing 101. If you want to have a bit of this education on how to better market your private practice, jump on to our academy. I'll put the links in the show notes. You can go straight there. It's all free. And you can go through and you can see Nick and I, you know, talking about these different issues that we need to address if we're going to market our private practice effectively. Okay, enough from me. Let's jump in and I'll play some of the answers that Nick has for your questions. And then I trust if you're interested enough, jump across to the academy and have a look at the whole thing that we prepared there for you. So thanks again. And so we'll listen to Nick. And next week, promise, Richard will be back and we'll have another guest.
So Nick, one of the questions that we've had from our readership is this one. I need to know just how to get started and get referrals. Everything I'm reading tells me what not to do. Pass out cards and flyers and visit doctors, but no one tells me what I need to do or exactly what to do first. And I've just opened up my practice. I have no idea. Okay, so this is a good one to start with. So what do you reckon, Nick?
Yeah, so that is a very good question. A lot of this really is just going to come down to putting yourself out there.
Yeah, sure.
So now I'm not sure where the not to pass out flyers, not to visit doctors side of things really stems from.
Right, yep.
Because that is one of the things I would start by doing.
Okay? Certainly, yep. You've got to get out there.
Yeah, 100%. So if a doctor, whether it be a general practitioner or another specialist that someone's working with, if they're going to refer work to you, refer patients to you, the first thing that needs to happen is they need to know you exist.
Yep.
Okay. So hitting the ground, introducing yourself, jumping on the phone, sending out flyers, sending out emails, all of that really is going to play a key role in this.
Yeah.
And that's where I guess it really comes back to the individual practice or physician. Mm-hmm. Okay. It really comes to what are you comfortable doing to get the business out there? And that could be sending a simple email to the 20 local practitioners that you think would have the potential to refer you work. That could be making 5 phone calls. Hey, can we catch up for coffee? I'd love to, I guess, just get to know you a little bit.
Yeah.
So general networking, I guess. And then in terms of the digital space, being there, right place, right time. Okay. So having, I guess, more than one place when someone can particularly come across your business, your brand, come across what you do and why they should refer patients to you is going to be key.
Okay. So what are those places? You say there's a number of different places. So what are they?
Yeah. So a number of different places. The first ones that come to mind, obviously, being having a website. So sure. Having a website, okay. Having yep. somewhere online where people can physically land and find out about you. Okay. Social media, obviously playing a bit aspect in that in multiple facets, in being somewhere people can go to find out about you, to read information, to see where you are, what you do, how to contact you.
Yep.
And also a way to send people to the website. Okay. Sure. Reaching people in their news feeds as they're socializing with information about your business, about your brand.
Okay.
Beautiful. Yeah, they're probably the two major ones I would start with. Google is obviously there for people that are actively online searching, which does sort. I don't know if I told you this previously. It does sort of bring me back to a bit of an example I had in mind from this year.
Sure.
So this is how I ended up starting working with a dietitian. So.
Okay.
I'm not going to share the gory details to everyone, but I was having some intolerances and I was, yep. and I looked in the mirror, I was 115 kilos and I was
right.
a little bit broader than I had been in the past, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So after seeing my GP, he recommended working with a dietitian to obviously tighten up the diet in general and identify where those intolerances were stemming from.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I looked across as he was looking at potential dietitians to refer me to.
Yep.
And lo and behold, what he'd done, he typed in to Google, dietitians that specialize in food intolerances.
Okay.
Three ads appeared at the top of the page.
Yep.
Number two, that's the dietitian I ended up working with and have had about 5 or 6 appointments with since that day with the GP.
Okay, so that's interesting. So he didn't have a personal relationship with or know a local dietitian. He went straight to Google.
He went straight to Google because he actively okay. knew what he wanted to find and wanted sure. to find someone local.
Okay. That's interesting. So Nick, this person was asking, you know, they have no idea where to start. So given everything you've just said, where do we start?
Yeah. And I obviously just rattled off a number of different places. Personally, I think the best thing to do is going to be getting in there, introducing yourself. Okay. Whether it's face-to-face or with an email.
Yep.
Most important thing is though, you need to have somewhere to send these practitioners through to, send these people through to. If you're just sending them an email, not much value. If it's an email sending people to a clear website, for mm-hmm. instance, a source yep. of information, that's where the value is going to come in from it.
Okay, beautiful. So Nick, another question that we've had here is, I'd be keen to ask whether people think it's best to market oneself as a specialist in a particular area or a multi-specialist or a jack of all trades, as some do in the profession of psychology. So some people's profiles make it look like they are trained in every approach going and can treat any difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we think?
That's a hard one. You see, so that right there, that's a decision that needs to be made from yourself, not from yeah. how you want to market yourself.
Yeah.
How you want to market yourself, how you're going to position your business, your brand, that all follows.
Yeah.
Okay. And each side of what you said there, obviously, I'm a jack of all trades. I can help anyone and anyone versus there's one thing that I do and one thing that I do well. There's different ways you can position that. There's different sure. places you can position that to reach the right audience.
Yeah.
So I think it comes more back to the individual and the individual's experience. So
of course,
yes. If there is one thing and one thing they do well, all right, you don't necessarily have to include 5 other things that you don't.
Yeah.
Do that one thing well, market yourself correctly to the right audience and let it flow from there rather than trying to overreach or cast too tight a net early on just because of how you want to market.
Absolutely. And look, as professionals too, you know, if we are overreaching, as you said, and we're saying that we're experts in all of these different areas and we can do all of these different techniques, well, it's not ethical to start with. You're not doing the right thing by your clients nor yourself. So much better to, with this whole idea of, you know, how do I market myself? Well, which is the cart and which is the horse? So I've got to put the right thing forward first, right? So generally we will have interests and we will have leanings as we study psychology and psychotherapy. There'll be areas that we want to go into. And so, you know, we'll have an interest in those areas, but we can also have a general practice as well. So I would say, you know, you market yourself, you know, in a general sort of way, but you can highlight the things where you want to then slowly move into a much more specialized field, for example.
Yeah, and that's it. And I guess where things, I guess, may influence further from there is if there are limitations in the local market. Sure. Now, that's probably the big thing I would say to consider if making that decision and if on the fence, if umming and ahhing. Okay, if you're in a major capital city with a huge population, then appearing to a niche market is going to give you really good potential to stand out from the crowd. You know, if you live in the middle of nowhere where there's 200 people living locally and only one person has the particular sort of area that you want to focus towards, if there's only one potential customer out there, then we're shooting ourselves in the foot from day one. And then that influences the need to be more general.
Yeah. So definitely supply and demand come into play there. And it's like the country doctor who has to do absolutely everything because he's the only doctor in the little country town compared to the specialist in the big city who can just do the one thing. Yeah.
And that's exactly right. And once that decision's made, then the conversation can shift. Then it's, all right, this is what I do well. This is what I want to specialize. How am I going to reach the right people and position my brand accordingly compared with, okay, I have decided to be more broad. It is a bit more of a numbers game. And there's obviously different ways we would position the two and different ways that either through your own research or through working with someone like myself, that you would be able to see sort of a feasible return and a structured plan stemming from that rather than flipping it the other way and starting with the end result rather than making that decision based off what's best for you and best on what's going to be best for your customers.
Okay. Now that we've got a few questions which are along similar lines. Is it better to market myself to a niche population or a general population? So again, similar sort of question.
Yeah.
I've got broad experience, but my speciality is working with older adults and caregivers. So, you know, once again, you know, if there is a demand that you can service and can provide you with a good income, then certainly, you know, you would be marketing yourself specifically to that niche.
Yeah.
If the demand isn't there, you can certainly still market yourself toward that niche, but you might also have to have a little bit of a broader marketing campaign as well, because you need all of the other different sorts of clients to keep you buoyant.
Yeah. If the demand's not there, it's not going to be sustainable, and you can have the best website, the most effective strategy. But if there's only 10 potential customers and you've got five of them already, then you're not leaving yourself with much room to grow and develop from there.
Right. So we have to do our homework and we have to find out in the populations that we are serving, so in the town that we're in, what is the demand?
Yeah, that's it. And it's understanding the local demographic as well. My local clients, that's a conversation that we will have.
Okay.
In great depth, you know, qualifying who the perfect customer is for you, what the demographic is of the surrounding areas, the surrounding suburbs, and how does that demographic find the businesses they interact with? Because I guarantee the way I find the businesses I interact with is different to my mum or my grandma.
Right.
although there is some overlap, which is something that we'd be here talking about all day if we jump into it.
Okay, beautiful. So, Nick, another question that we've had is what accountability questions should we be asking when we're looking at hiring a marketing person? When So all of this can be quite overwhelming. We're busy doing our practice. We want to get someone on board that's going to help us do our marketing. How do we find the best person? What should we be asking?
Yeah, okay. And so there's definitely a couple of questions I will probably straight away jump into, because Okay. Just from my experiences speaking with business owners, these are the questions that are typically asked.
Okay.
So biggest thing, something that I ask people I work with as well, what is it that makes you different from any of your competitors?
Okay.
Especially with so much money being invested in marketing, with so much money being invested in digital marketing, there's a hell of a lot of people out there in that space. So straight away, they need to know why they're different and why they're going to be able to positively impact your business rather than, I just want your money. Okay. So asking what makes them different from the other 10 people that have contacted you previously is going to be a big step. Okay. And it's going to be what that particular person, whether it's the sales rep, whether it's a consultant, whether it's, you know, the business owner in a more boutique fashion themselves, it's really going to let them compress what their value is in one or two sentences to answer that question.
Now, should that be obvious to me? I don't know anything about marketing. I'm asking them, well, what's unique about you? Should their answer be obvious to me that I can discern?
Not necessarily obvious, but clear.
Clear. Okay.
Okay. If it sounds too good to be true, or if it sounds too complicated, then it probably is. Okay. If they don't know why they can provide you with the best value, then it obviously raises more questions than it answers in my mind. So that's something I would typically ask early on in the conversation.
Okay. Beautiful.
Now the next thing's more about building an understanding question of it, because there's so many different tools, strategies, elements you can look at in the marketing space. So realistic expectations.
Realistic. Okay.
So what do you realistically expect from what you've proposed, from this budget, from Facebook compared to Google, from Google compared to YouTube? Okay. Right. So if they're not able to paint realistic expectations, another warning sign. Okay. I would say. Okay. And those expectations should allow you to build a bit of understanding about what strategy they're implementing as well. Is the strategy set up to generate 20 phone calls in the next month? Okay. Is the strategy's goal to drive 500 people that have been looking for a relevant keyword or keyword set to the website? Mm-hmm. Is the goal to get more people engaged on social media and to grow an organic audience that you don't have to continue to pay for? So because there are so many goals and expectations, being clear on those expectations and understanding them from your end is definitely going to, I guess, put your mind at ease when working with someone. And it makes me more confident that person knows what they're talking about.
Okay. So we've got, how are you unique?
Yep.
What are the reasonable expectations that I should have of you? What else should we be asking?
Yep. Simple. Why do you want to work with me?
Oh, okay.
Why do you want to work with my clinic? Is it, do you specialize in this field? Are you local? Mm-hmm. Do you want to work with me because you need to hit your monthly sales target?
Right.
You know, and I mean, and I know from my side of things, just speaking to other people in the industry and in previous roles that I'm in, sometimes that motivation's not there. Sometimes that motivation's there because you appear on a list and you get told to contact that person.
Yep.
Okay. Which is one of the big reasons I really love what I'm doing now. I get to choose local businesses, local industries. Mm-hmm. And when those businesses aren't local, they're businesses I specifically want to work with for a particular reason.
Okay. So we want to know that we're not just a number, we're not just satisfying a target, that, you know, there's a deeper reason why you want to work with me.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And beautiful.
Many answers to that question. It's just whether you like their answer or not, that's going to be a big a big factor
with
that one and whether that person's compatible with your business.
Okay. All right.
One more that I had that I wanted to sort of jump into straight away here. This is more a question that's getting a bit ahead of the curve.
Okay? Right.
A lot of people don't think before they start something, what happens next?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest questions I would advise to ask is, what can you provide me in terms of reporting, in terms of transparency, in terms of real data?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. I can't count the amount of times on my hands how many times I've met with a business owner and there's a big question mark about what's happening after they pay money to their marketing guys.
Okay.
After that money disappears, what actually happens?
Right.
Yeah. And the tools and technology is there. So the ability is there to track every single visitor to the website, identify where that visitor comes from and exactly where in your marketing is generating that visitor, that patient, that phone call.
Right.
The data's all there. So what are you going to show me in terms of reporting? And does that match up with the expectations you set for me in question three?
and am I going to be able to understand it too? You know, I'm a busy practitioner. I'm with clients all day. You know, I'm not as tech savvy as you. So I need something delivered that will show me very clearly that the money I'm spending in marketing is actually making a difference.
Yeah, 100%. There's a million and one other questions that you can ask.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, the biggest thing is that you have an understanding on what they're going to be doing for you, I would say.
Okay.
You don't have to know how to do it yourself. It's not easy. If it was easy, I wouldn't have a job.
Exactly. Yep.
But understanding, you know, like some of those questions, understanding what to expect, what you're going to see in terms of data and accountability from that person, why they want to work with your business. Why are we sitting down now? Is it a seasonal thing? Do you think you can get me more work because we're heading into summer and that's when more people are searching for a particular topic?
Yeah.
There's so much that you can ask, but the most important thing, if you have understanding and confidence in that person, I think that's going to be the best way to start. And it's the best way to identify that someone's creating an actual strategy for your business rather than selling you the same thing they do to every business they get on the phone with.
Okay, brilliant. Great tips.
Okay, so like I said, that's some of the conversation that Nick and I had about marketing. It's not the whole thing. We've got everything together in a course, a free course on our academy. So once again, go to the link in the show notes. It'll take you straight there. And it's just a whole series of, 5-minute videos. And you can run through all of those. Now, if you want extra help, if you need personal help from Nick, then there's also a link to his landing page on our site. And there's a form that you can fill out and you can get in contact with him. And he will be able to tailor a digital marketing strategy for your private practice or whatever your business or practice, whatever services you're offering, he's able to help. So thanks again for tuning in. Next week, Richard will be back in Australia. We'll be back in the same time zone. It'll be so much easier. And we'll have another guest on. Thanks for tuning in. If you're wanting to support us, please do subscribe to The Science of Psychotherapy. This is Matthew Dulitz signing off for today.
Thanks for listening to The Science of Psychotherapy podcast. For more great science, go to thescienceofpsychotherapy.com.